Welcome back. Simon Silicus in for Mitch Melnick with Amanda Steiner, Rod Francis with you till 7 o'clock. Game day here on TSN 690. Habs versus Lightning. Puck drop just a little after 7:30. Dan Robertson and Sergio Momesso with the call. But joining us now, part of the play-by-play team at TSN, Gord Miller. Gord, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Simon. You?
Very well. Thank you. Gord, watching that game yesterday, I would imagine that's a difficult game for you to call, just when one team is just so much superior than their opponent.
Not difficult to call. Just the game unfolds the way it unfolds, right? You just call the game. So it doesn't matter. You want a more competitive game, but you just call what's going on, and it's not much going on for one side, that's for sure.
No, it's a tough one. Just looking at this squad, look, there's no Connor McDavid on this team. It seems like a team built by committee. Hard to gauge how good this team is from their performance last night because of their opponent, but if you look at this team going forward, is there a chance for a gold medal with this team?
Oh, for sure there's a chance for a gold medal. I mean, obviously they're playing at home, but I mean, I would think, you know, the first thing you look for in any team is how good is their defense. Right. If you're looking at any team to evaluate them, how good is their defense? And I think Philip Myers and Thomas Chabot are both going to be number one NHL defensemen. And so you're looking at a team that starts around that, they're always going to have a chance to win. And that's why I give them a shot, because those two guys are tall, great skaters, have offensive instincts. They're very good players. It's amazing to me that Myers went unpicked through the 2015 draft.
Thomas Chabot and Erik Karlsson, very nice pairing for the Senators going forward. I think they're going to like that. What about the goaltending, Gord? Look, again, hasn't been really tested. We saw that, you know, in game number one versus Russia. Amanda, you got a clip that was the highlight of the goaltending yesterday.
Chabot just played that ahead. Ingram went sliding to the Canadian bench to try to get off. Cut an edge on his way down there.
He was yelling as he went by, as he tripped and slid right past us here.
I was flying, first of all. That's top speed for me. That's gear five. And the door was shut. I was trying to yell at Phil. And as soon as I tried to stop, that right toe went in there pretty good. Worst play of the day. Ducked my head. Swallowed my pride and skated back.
I love that call. You and Ray can't keep it together.
He toe-picked it. He's a great kid. A real personality. It's hilarious. He was laughing about it afterwards. That was great, you know. And listen, on this stage, they're nervous, right? And I mean, they're so hyped up, and then things like that happen. I think it's great that you can sit back and laugh about it.
You know what, Gord? Speaking of Ingram, I had the chance when the team was out in Boisbriand for their training camp to actually spend some time with him and a bunch of the players. And one of the most significant memories I have from that is it was their car wash day where they're taking pictures for TSN and all this stuff. And he walked by me in all his gear in this small little hallway. And he wasn't talking to me specifically, but I think he was just talking to himself. And it was like he was absorbing this Team Canada World Junior moment, and he said as he walked by me, he's like, I can't believe this. I can't believe I get to take this picture so that one day my kids believe me that I played in this tournament. And that, to me, really struck me just how important this is to some of these kids.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a couple of things about that, Amanda. Number one, I mean, when he got the call that he's going to selection camp, he was surprised. He's got the best save percentage in the Western Hockey League. He didn't get there by accident. But I think the other thing you got to think about is, consider this, the 2005 Canadian junior team is the greatest team in the history of the tournament. Six of those players played the Olympics 5 years later. But six players in that team never played in the NHL, or are very limited.
Right.
Neither goalie played a game in the National Hockey League. Sean Bell didn't play, I think he played like 10 games in the league. Danny Sevrette played a handful of games. So for a lot of these kids, this might very well be the highlight. You know, as much as their first-round picks and their high draft picks and they're highly touted, if you look at the Canadian junior team, no matter what the year is, you'll see on average 6 to 8 of them won't have any kind of career in the NHL. And so this is a big moment for them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I felt from him. Like, this was the moment that he was seizing, you know, unaware whether, you know, what comes next for him. He had made it. That's what I felt like when he walked right by me.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty neat moment. And I think that it's what makes this tournament so interesting is the window to win it is so small. If you play in the National Hockey League for, you know, a measurable length of time, you'll have, you know, chances. You'll think every year you got a chance to win the cup.
Right.
First of all, you got to make this team. Most players only play in one, a handful play in two, and so it's a very narrow window to win it.
Gord, attendance in Montreal hasn't been great, and yesterday in Toronto, And I kind of get the Toronto thing. You know, we spoke about it with Rod. You go back the last couple of months, the Blue Jays deep playoffs, the TFC, the Raptors any given night. The Leafs are a must watch again. Is it just fatigue, or is it maybe you got to start thinking about taking this tournament to Canada, but going back to maybe the prairies or maybe going out east and filling up smaller venues?
Well, I think the thing in Toronto was go further back. The NBA All-Star game was here.
Yeah.
You know, in addition to the Blue Jays, you had the Grey Cup game. You had the World Cup of Hockey. You've got an outdoor game here on January 1st that's not sold out yet. It's just too much. So in this, I mean, they sold out every game here 2 years ago. Montreal's just a different thing. I mean, you know, it's often said it's not a hockey town, it's a Canadiens town. And I remember when it wasn't really a Canadiens town. 15 years ago, the Canadiens had 4,000 empty seats a night, and the team sold for $165 million because no one in Canada would buy it. And you got the building with it. So,
yes.
I mean, it's just a different market. And I think that in retrospect, they probably wouldn't go back there twice in 3 years. But it doesn't mean Montreal is a bad market. It's just, I've always said there are things that sell in Montreal that wouldn't sell anywhere else. And there are things that sell everywhere else that don't sell in Montreal.
Yeah, great point. So Stan Bowman going to work again and signing Panarin to a 2-year, $12 million contract, $6 million a year. So right now, right now, Kane, Tate, Seabrook, Panarin, Crawford, Keith, Anisimov, and John Molson at $59 million. That's nine players at $59 million. I spoke about this with Rod. I totally get overpaying at the top. It was kind of like when they were negotiating PK Subban's contract. I was like, overpay the guys at the top and figure out what you're going to do with your third and fourth lines. But here, you're talking about nine players close to $60 million.
Well, here's the thing. Your top players are going to get whatever they get. But you maybe have to say to them, if you want $10 million each, we can't be a good team. So you've got to decide how much you want to make. If you want to make 10.5 or 12 million, you're entitled to it because you've done it and you're entitled to make it. But if you want us to have a good team, it's got to be a little bit less. We can work on term. We can work on other things. So in Chicago's case, I mean, this is going to mean, well, first of all, there's an expansion draft. Secondly, it's going to mean another mass exodus out of Chicago this summer. So you're going to see five or six players go out of Chicago. They'll probably have to unload Marian Hossa. You know, they'll look at guys like probably Anisimov may have to go. Nick Jalmerson may have to go. They're just going to have to keep shedding players. Now, it's hard to argue with what Bowman's done there. They've won the Stanley Cup three times in the last six, 7 years. So, I mean, how do you argue with that success? But it just, in this cap system, it makes it impossible to be a good team for any length of time. And then when you sign guys, and Subban's a great example, you know, Montreal thinks he's worth $9 million a year, but hardly anyone else will take on that contract, right? One of the problems that Mark Bergevin had trying to move in the summer was there's only a limited number of teams that can take on a $9 million contract. And so, A, you've got to like the player, and B, you've got to like the contract.
It's almost as if Stan Bowman is gambling on the cap. Just, you know, at some point he's going to have an incredible jump.
I don't think Stan's gambling on it. I think what Stan is saying is he's managing for this year. So he's got Panarin done, and he's going to take his chances on their core. They've drafted really well in Chicago. They got a lot of young players that they can plug into the lineup, and then he'll make moves in the summer. But Stan's not going to break up a championship-caliber team by unloading core players. Now, I would say this. As opposed to 2010 and 2013, when they nibbled at the core, losing Brandon Saad, that's more of a core player. And now you're starting to see that they're starting to lose guys that you would describe as the nucleus of that team. And that's a problem for them. But if you look at what Pittsburgh's done with Crosby and Malkin on those tickets, finding Rust, Sheary, a host of other players that they've got has been a godsend for them. You've got to draft. You absolutely have to draft and develop. And then you've got to strike when the iron's hot when you've got a contending team. And I think that's where Montreal is. Montreal is a contending team. So right now, you take your shot at it, and you worry about the consequences later.
Court, I've asked Joe Smith from the Tampa Bay Times and Pierre Maguire about the goaltending situation and with the NHL trade deadline. And how active do you think general managers will be, especially in a player like Ben Bishop or even in Pittsburgh with Marc-Andre Fleury? And how much does the expansion draft play into that? And how active will these general managers be? Because you can't. I can understand losing to a player in the offseason, but losing him to expansion for nothing is a tough pill to swallow.
But you don't lose a player for nothing. And that's the point that people miss. You never lose a player for nothing because you get his cap space.
Yes.
And that's a huge thing to get back, right? So when a guy leaves as an unrestricted free agent, you get his cap space. And so that can be as valuable as a player because it can allow you to keep a player. The expansion draft is going to play hugely into this in terms of goaltending because everyone's got to expose a goaltender who is eligible under the expansion draft criteria. And so if you don't, then you're in a world of hurt because then you've got to you protect one fewer skater. So it's obviously going to be a lot. And Steve Yzerman is a very patient man. And Steve's shown this over and over and over again. He's not going to make a rash move. He's got a plan there, and he's going to stick with it, and he's not going to make a desperation or rash move. He just won't. That's not the way he does it. He's from the Detroit system, and they don't do it either. Detroit doesn't make panic moves, and he won't do it either.
Gord, you mentioned before from Chicago the loss of Brendan Saad, and really what that is, it's been the Blue Jackets' gain. I mean, 13 goals, 16 assists, 29 points in 33 games. He's been a huge part of what they've been doing, particularly in these last 13 games. How remarkable is it to see this team win 13 in a row under the tutelage of John Tortorella and only 5 regulation losses all year long?
John Tortorella is a very good National Hockey League coach, first and foremost. You can talk all you want about, you know, his temper and everything else. John's a very successful coach who's won the Stanley Cup. I did the playoff series a couple of years ago when Columbus played Pittsburgh. And 5-on-5, they were the better team. The Pittsburgh power play was the difference, and pucks were going in everywhere on both goaltenders. But 5-on-5, Columbus was better than Pittsburgh in that first-round series. And the Penguins would tell you that. So last year, obviously, they were wiped out by injury. So it's so hard to evaluate a team when they've got that many players hurt. But making the deal for Seth Jones was huge for them. They've again, a team that's drafted really well, that's developed players really well. You know, when you've got the likes of William Karlsson and the other players that they've drafted and brought through the system, that's a really good hockey team. And now you've got Bobrovsky playing the way he can most of the time. I mean, they're a really good team. I don't think I saw them being this good, but I did think they'd be in the mix for a playoff spot this year just because the likelihood of suffering 400 man games to injury again seems pretty remote.
Did you catch Coach Tortorella's comments after the game yesterday?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. 13 wins in a row, meets the media, tells him,
Burn the tape.
That's exactly what I did for the game. But yeah, he is a fantastic coach, and it seems to me that...
Unfortunately, what's happened with John is, storming the dressing room in Vancouver.
Not good,
and
yeah.
Some of the stuff after games, and the World Cup obviously blew up on him. But I think people have to understand... You know, people that have coached a long time know what they're doing. You can disagree with their methods and everything else, but they know what they're doing. I know there's people in Montreal don't like Michel Therrien. The man can coach. He's been doing it for 30 years at multiple levels, and he's won. He knows what he's doing. So I think to discount them, I mean, first of all, the jockey's only as good as his horse, and that's a big part of it. John's got a good team in Columbus, and that's a big part of it. And when you've got injuries, I don't care how good a coach you are, you've only got a certain number of players that are capable of playing. What are you going to do?
Gord, thanks for taking the time. Much appreciated.
My pleasure. Enjoy it.
Thank you, sir. Gord Millett from TSN, part of the broadcast team at the World Juniors. Canada back in action.
Tomorrow night versus Latvia.
And then
still undecided which goaltender will be playing.
It doesn't matter. it doesn't matter. December 31st, New Year's Eve.
That's
versus
right.
Versus America.
That
Looking
is
forward
correct.
To that game. I like this little tradition they've got going on with the... USA on December 31st. It works out very well.
2 years ago when the tournament was here, I don't know, were you covering some of those games, Amanda?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't here. I know Connor was actually at that US-Canada game, and it was an afternoon one, which led right into dinner time.
Exactly. No, I was there too. It was unbelievable, and Max Domi was the big star that night for Team Canada, and again, you had the dynamic of fans in Montreal hockey fans chanting for a Domi. It was a hell of a way to go into New Year's Eve night.
Nice. Simon Slickus, Rod Francis, Amanda Stein, this Milk in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Pat Hickey, right after 6:30, we'll break down the Canadians and the Lightning.
The World Poker Tour is back, again. The Playground Poker Winter Festival kicks off January 29th and runs through February 15th. Log on to playgroundpoker.ca for details. Playground Poker Club.